I don't know about you, but if you look at the screen up top, it says saved by hope, saved by hope. And we're going to read from Romans tonight, but before I read our scripture, I want to let you know that Paul has spent a lengthy amount of time talking about the difference of how we were to conduct our lives, which as he's talking to the Jews and Gentiles as well. But the fact is that there is this thing called the law, not a small thing. And the thing called the law is something that they expected everyone to follow. And if you followed it, then you could be saved by the fact that you were Abraham's children. Well, then that kind of left out the Gentiles. That's us, all of us. Eddie spoke about that this morning. In fact, so much of what he said overlaps what I'm going to speak about tonight. But Paul went on to say, but when the Lord gave his Spirit to us, thank God for the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus, when he was on this earth, could be in one place at one time. He purposely, by way of manifesting himself, he came as a human being. He was all man. He was all God. It's something I can't comprehend. I can't explain it. But I just accept the fact that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. That's what the scripture says. The fullness of the Godhead. In other words, Jesus was Lord of this universe, creator and all. But at the same time, he was man. But then when he left, oh, how sad it was when he left and the apostles were alone until Pentecost. That's when the Spirit fell. And the Spirit came on the apostles and gave them power, gave them boldness to preach in the name of Jesus. Where Peter had cowered in fear and denied Jesus three times, he now is up preaching to the Gentiles. And so we're looking at one of the earliest, I think, earliest written New Testament letters. This is letters to the Romans. And Paul is speaking of the Spirit and how it gives life. Okay, the Spirit gives life. So at the beginning of chapter 8, he talks about how Jesus came in the flesh and the law was not able to save us, but the fact that we accept Jesus Christ is when we become adopted. Think of it that way, adopted into the heirs of Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters, think of it that way, of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are heir to everything that he is heir to, which is what? Everything. In the universe, Jesus Christ is heir to everything. And because we are now adopted as part of the God family, we too are heirs. But you know, there's something odd about our present state. And this is what I want to talk about. Our present state. Even though we are saved, and we know what our end result is, we know that either heaven, if we die right now, we would be transported to heaven, or if we are alive at the time when all of a sudden New Jerusalem comes down and the heavens and the earth are recreated, we're gonna be on this earth ruling with Jesus Christ. Either way, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. Either way. But the fact is, we aren't there yet. And this is what Paul is talking about in these scriptures I'm getting ready to read. We're not there yet. Salvation, yes. We have salvation. But we don't get to enjoy all of the benefits of salvation right now. I mean, there's much more to what... Thank God there's much more to what we're enduring on this earth right now. Yeah, it is. It's so beyond what we can think about. I mean, it says, neither has it entered into the heart of man what awaits those who love him, love his appearing. So Paul is talking about this aspect of it. What's going to happen in the future. Now that we've accepted Christ, there's something that's going to happen in the future, and this is where we're going to pick up with what Paul is talking about. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, he says this, "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." You can just feel the tension on this earth, the earthly governments, the election. I mean, you can feel the tension in the air to where you know if something were to not go just right, the bubble's going to burst. And I mean, it's going to burst, and people, who knows, may be out here rioting in the streets. It's funny, not funny, ha-ha, but odd how the people started boarding up their businesses. Did y'all see that in the news? People started boarding up their businesses. Why? Because they expected that President Trump would win the election, and guess what? Riots would ensue all across the nation. And so they were boarding up their businesses 2-3 days ahead of time before the election, and they were going to protect themselves from the rioters. That was the way they were going to do it. Well, when election night came and went, and then the next night came and went, you could still feel that tension, but they don't know what to do yet. They don't know really who won. No state has called yet who the president is. So don't focus on the president. It's like Eddie said this morning, don't focus on the president. We're neither saved by the Democrats nor the Republicans. We're not saved by that. But right now, our entire earth is groaning and it's travailing in pain because there's more coming, okay? There's more to come, and it's great things are to come. Verse 23, "And not only they," meaning the earth, "but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." When you were saved, the only way you can be saved is by the power of the Holy Spirit. "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves." So it's almost as if we are groaning and sighing over the condition of not only the outside, the earth, and everything that's going on around us, but our own state. Okay, I was talking to Deronda today about the old man, the new man. You know, we want to shed that old man. Those of you who've ever seen a snake shed its skin, that would be like the old man. I want to shed that, get rid of it, and I want the new man to take over. And Paul himself is saying the same thing. So we ourselves groan, and we groan within ourselves. What are we waiting for? It says here, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In other words, we're looking forward to that future date to where we're going to be reunited with our body and our spirit, and it's going to be a glorified body, just like the kind of body that Jesus Christ had. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to that day. Oh, I look forward to that. But then verse 24, he says this, "For we are saved by hope." But then he goes on to say, "But hope that is seen is not hope." That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. If you could see it, then it's no longer hope. We don't see yet what our future is going to be. So we are saved by hope. "But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man sees, why does he yet hope for?" So you wouldn't hope for something you can already see. Verse 25, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience," think about this, "breathe I know everything going around the country is just chaotic, but take a moment to breathe, relax, and know that God is in charge. God is in charge. Your life right now might be in a chaotic state. Breathe. God is in charge. Things don't always go my way, but I have to take a moment and just breathe and know that God is in charge. He will be exalted in you in due season, but He will be exalted in you. Christ is not going to leave you alone. He promised He never would. So we're saved by hope. But it said, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Verse 26. And this is the one I like. Likewise, the Spirit. Remember I told you about the Spirit. The Spirit comes to you when you are saved. You have to be sealed with the Spirit to be one of God's children. Now, we're not talking about a later act of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about salvation and our future hope with Jesus Christ. But he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Oh my goodness, we have so many infirmities. Physical, mental, spiritual. I mean, we're broken in ways that sometimes we can't even tell people. We can't tell people in a group setting because we just can't. I mean, it's too personal to us. You have yours, I have mine. I mean, there's things about each one of us that's just too personal that we cannot talk to other people about necessarily. I pray that you would be able to find some kind of counselor or a guide, somebody who is spiritual, not somebody that's worldly, because we have so many infirmities of all different sorts, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, you name it. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's interesting. I've never really stopped to think about that statement. But sometimes we don't know what to pray for. And even if we know what to pray for, sometimes we don't know how to pray. Should this person be healed, or do we simply say, if it be your will? You know, we don't know. We start to wonder, well, Lord, how should I pray for this person? How should I do it? Well, let me tell you what not to do. Don't let it slide. Even if you don't know what to pray for, pray anyway. Pray that God will, at a minimum, be with that person, lift their spirits up, and let them be edified to the point that they will be built up, not just on the outside, but on the inside, that inner person, that inner strength. And God will touch that person. A lot of you raised your hand when you had an unspoken request. Folks, I've raised my hand every Sunday when he calls for unspokens. Because those kinds of needs are personal to us. Sometimes we'll even give it out as, could you pray, I have a special unspoken. Well, they're all special. But we have them, right? We have them. We have these needs, these infirmities. And so the Spirit knows about this, and He also knows that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to. But listen to this, and this is great. But the Spirit Himself, I don't care what the Scripture says here, the Spirit is a Him. Spirit is not an it. This is where I disagree with the King James Bible. You can hate me for it if you want to, but I will not refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. If it was an it could not make intercession for us. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us. How? With groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh my. The Spirit himself, even when we don't know how to pray, sometimes all it takes is tears. Have you ever prayed that way before? I know it sounds odd, but you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I want so-and-so to be saved. And then the next thing is the tears just come pouring out. Just come pouring out. And that's groaning in the spirit. Because you're under such burden. Can I call it that? Can I call it or conviction? You're under such strain that I don't know the words. And I sometimes come to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what to say about this situation. All I know is that you can handle it. You can fix it. However it takes. Lord, I know you can do it. Would you please? And this is how I talk to him sometimes. Would you please do it for me? And cause, Lord, I've got relatives out here who aren't saved. And I've got people that I know who are sick. And I don't know, most of y'all might be like me, but I'm afraid of change. I don't like change. And I see people getting sick and it bothers me. And I take it to the Lord in such a way because I say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do about this or how should I say it? And my spirit begins to cry out to God in such a way, I don't know if it's in our scripture, but it cries out, Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic. Okay, Aramaic. It's another way of referring to the Father, but it's in such a way as to refer to him as our dad. I mean, would you go up to your dad if you needed a dollar and say, Oh, Father, you are mighty and you are powerful, and I love your generosity. Could you spare me $1, Lord? No, we don't do that. We don't. What do? We're like the persistent widow. I need a dollar. I need a dollar. You could be like my grandkids. They always want five. I hate that store, five and below. I hate it because they always want to do something for me for $5. So they can get something dangerous as a skateboard that's probably weak as thread, and they skate on it, no helmet, and they skate on it, and I'm out there with my chewing my fingernails off, and I keep begging them, please wear a helmet. And then all of a sudden, next thing I see them doing is going down the driveway. Just scooting right on out. Don't even look out and see if there's a car coming. Go right out into the road. Bicycle, skateboard, five below has ruined my life. But it's funny how that happens. They've long left the Dollar Tree. It's always five and below. Yes, I might have to move because it really is. It's crushing my spirit, and my spirit cries out to God because I worry about my children. I mean, my little Allison had a crack in her wrist. All because she wanted to play like she was a horse. And I think was it Caleb?
Harper.
Got on her, was going to ride the horse.
I guarantee you it wasn't Caleb.
No, Caleb would try. Caleb would try. And the thing is, she ended up, she hurt her hand. I don't think they knew it was broken there for a while. And the next thing they knew, she was complaining about it, and they took her to the Velocity Care or whatever and x-rayed it, and sure enough, she had a crack in her wrist. Little girl wanted to play horse. I can remember when I was pretty young, maybe 8-10 years old. My brother Harold, for whatever reason, he was lying on the bed backwards, so his head wasn't up to where the wall was. He was lying with his head toward the bottom. And usually the first words of trouble is, "Hey, come here a minute." So I walked over there and I said, "What do you want?" He said, "Let me see if I can lift you with my legs." You know, he wanted me to get on him like this, like the Titanic movie, you know, get on his feet. And he was going to lift me in the air. There's actually a name for that, acro something, acro yoga, or maybe. But anyway, and I did. I got up on his feet, and I'm up in the air like this, and I'm holding my arm up there. All of a sudden, without notice, ain't that the way it always happens? Without notice, he bent his legs, and I mean he shot me like a cannon. He shot me like a cannon. I went up into the wall, rear end first, and I put a huge hole in the the kind of wall that we have over here, sheetrock. Yes, I put a huge hole. Needless to say, we got a good talking to. I don't know if we got a spanking for it, but we deserved it. Yeah, see, I'm not alone. I mean, we have the same infirmities in our old man, and so we end up doing these things. We end up doing these things, and the Spirit has to make intercession. I can imagine that day what the Spirit must have been saying to the Father. There they go again. Yeah, that's another thing. My grandkids break out using their soccer balls. They busted out three of my windows. By accident. It's always by accident. But no, the Spirit itself will make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. So the Lord knows what the Spirit is thinking about us, because he makes intercession for the saints. Don't you love that? The Spirit is making intercession for me, for you, for each one of you. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you have surrendered your heart to him, you have this benefit of the Spirit making intercession for you. And he will make intercession according to the will of God. A lot of times when I pray, I have no idea what God's will is. I know there's people out there who can say, "I command God to do this. You know, I have all faith and I believe God's going to do this and no doubt about it, and go on that way." Well, I'm sorry. I cannot command God to do anything. God does what God wants to do. And God will do it in the way he wants to do. Now, here's our problem. Our problem is we have limited vision. We have limited vision about, we don't even know what tomorrow's going to look like. God's already been there. He knows what tomorrow will look like. He knows what the coming days will look like. And he knows your infirmities and your problems and your issues that you're facing right now. And the Spirit himself is making intercession for you. I cannot believe that the Spirit makes intercession for you and God will not answer. Wouldn't that be so contradictory? That would be so contradictory for the Spirit to be making intercession for me and God would say unto the Spirit, no, I'm not going to do it. No, gosh, the Spirit, God is on our side. We are on his side. But God is for us, and who can be against us? And then verse 27. No, I think I read that already. He does make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Not because of the way you want prayer to be answered, but according to the will of God. Last scripture. And we know, verse 28, and we know that all things, say that with me, all things, I can't understand it, but there it is. All things work together for good to them, who's them? That's us. To them that love God, and to them who are called according to His purpose. If you love God tonight, if you are putting your faith in Him right now, your life might be in chaos right now. But if you put your faith in Him, as hard as it is to do, the scripture in Psalms, I think 46, where He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now I know if you go back and read the rest of Psalm 46, He's talking about future things, things that happened in tribulation times. But when He says, "Be still and know that I am God," I think that's a scripture for all times in my life. So when I'm having issues, regardless of what kind of issues, mental, spiritual, physical, if I rely on God and trust Him to work it out the way He wants to do, that's called surrendering, folks. It's called surrendering. We have to surrender our will. Oh, that's so hard to do. Our will. We have the solution, usually. We have the solution that we want in mind. Oh, I want such and such to be healed right now. Oh, I want this to happen right now. Well, maybe God's working something else out. Maybe through the trial that you're in right now, God is working, and whether if you think He can't do this, you're surprised, you'll be surprised, that God can work on 2, 3, 4 ends at the same time. And I have seen things come together that I would never have believed would have come together. And some things have happened just recently. And it just thrills my heart that God, even though I didn't know how to pray, I wish I could tell you what it was, but even though I didn't know how to pray, one day I get a call. And if I said any more, you might would guess what it is. But I get a call and everything is fine. Everything is fine. And I did not know which way it was going to go. I didn't give up, but I got to the point to where I had no idea how to pray. I got to the point that I didn't know what to say to God anymore about it. I said, and I wondered, I don't know if y'all do this, but I do. I speak frankly to the Lord. Are you on an intimate relationship with God? I am. I feel like I am. But sometimes I'll, boy, if you could only hear me sometimes in the car. But I'll go, "Lord, you know what?" I said, I don't know what should happen. I don't know the right thing here. I don't know who's right in this situation. But I pray, and I ask the Lord, if it's okay, if you would please resolve it, fix it. Because I don't have the strength, I don't have the words to fix what is wrong. But God has already been there to tomorrow, to next week, to the month after. He knows the beginning to the end. And though we can only see what we see here tonight, let's put our faith, let's put our trust in Him and let Him work it out in His time. Now, you might think that's not fast enough, but trust me, everything will, I believe that everything the Spirit intercedes for you will happen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words. I thank you for these scriptures that Paul has written to us. And Lord, I know that everything will work to good for them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I pray, Lord, that as much as I don't understand that scripture, I pray that you'll give me wisdom to believe it, faith to believe it, and Lord, the strength to believe it, that you're working things out for me as we speak and for each and every one of the saints here tonight. If anyone has not given their heart to the Lord, Lord, I ask you, God, that you would draw them to you. If anyone needs prayer, Lord, I will stay behind and I will pray for them. I will be glad to pray. And so, Lord, I devote this time that you would bless each and every heart here as we dismiss. In Jesus' name, amen.